I think we're all, we've got loads of echo, but we just got to deal with that. I think that's the only way to go. Oh, wow, I got it. This is so good.
Does it sound like we're in a cave?
It doesn't. No, anymore. It sounds good. It sounds normal, finally.
Hey!
Okay, fantastic. Sorry for the massive mess up with the Oxide Studio. Obviously, it wasn't our fault, as it never is. So, this week we're doing prog rock and minimalist music. Yeah. It's very weird combo.
No, I think it kind of makes sense in a twisted kind of way.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, both have kind of long compositions and are kind of classical, but not really.
But also, I think they both have kind of good vibes in this kind of strange set. I think it's very comforting about prog. And, you know, in the way there is, at least with... I think Terry Riley's minimalism is quite proggy in a way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's go with that. Kind of put in a song by The Who, Baba O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of... They're not really prog, I'd say, but...
Well, Terry Riley did the thing. Is that?
Well,
is
the
that
intro him? Is inspired by him, and also it's called Baba O'Reilly because of Terry Riley.
Oh, that's so I think
the other
told
is
me that
Baba
before.
Someone, and they're like, they're gurus.
Yeah, it was a guru. Yeah. I knew that much.
Cool. So I think we're going to go for two songs I picked. So, actually, the songs we just had were Starship Trooper by Yes, which was Rob's choice.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very good prog song and possibly the only good Yes song.
No, I would agree.
Yeah.
And they had taste at that point.
And before that, we had the Grand Pianola Music by John Adams, which is...
Not the best example of minimalism of all time.
Definitely not. But that's why I thought I'd start with it, because it's kind of, you know, almost proggy in the way it's so bombastic and so symphonic. No, you disagree?
Oh, I don't agree with that. I'm just not a fan of the piece.
Yeah, okay. Good. Anyway, so the next one's a really good piece. So this is Dutch composer Simeon ten Holt with the Canto Sonata. It's a really long piece. I'm only playing a bit of it. Still quite long. I think we're playing 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. So, yeah, there we go. Canto Sonata, part one. Thank you.
sea surfs and clouds and sky. Hush now, darling, don't you cry. There's a mockingbird singing songs in the trees. There's a mockingbird singing songs just for you and surfs and clouds and sky. Time will see your tears run dry. There's a mockingbird singing songs in the trees. There's a mockingbird singing songs just for you.
Good. So there we are back again. Rob has just gone to the toilet, but so I'll talk about this. So that was Barclay James Harvest with the track Mockingbird, which I think is a very, very nice story. I think it's a very nice track. It's kind of, it's very kind of soft and adult-oriented, but it's nice. It's got a good melody. It's got this kind of, so, nice kind of melancholic, mellow track, which I like. And before that, we had the Cantor Ostinato by Simeon Tenhold, Dutch composer, who quite recently, I think a couple of years ago, passed away, and this is his main composition. And I don't think it's that well-known outside of Holland. But in the Netherlands, there is a, they perform it every other day, basically. And what's really great is that it's very free, so it can take, it can last for an hour or over 5 hours. It's basically the musicians can really choose how often they play the same bit, for example, in a kind of similar way to Steve Reich's In C. And then the instrumentation is also very free, so some people play it with two pianos. Sometimes I've seen it with two pianos and two marimbas and two vibraphones, I think. Sometimes they use the organ, so there's a kind of, basically no single performance is the same, which is really interesting. And I think the version we played was quite kind of traditional, two pianos. But I think there are some very good versions with organ too, and also some very good versions with marimba, which gives it a really different kind of, it's a very rhythmic piece, and I think it's nice to have marimbas to bring that out. Good, so next track will also be a bit of minimalism, and this is one of Rob's recommendations, so I don't really know what we're going for, but basically it's a piece by Steve Reich, which is always good, and it's called Nagoya Marimba. So these, I was just talking about marimba as well. Now we're going to listen to something with marimba in it. Steve Reich, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was, that was Pink Floyd live in Pompeii, the Saucer for All Secrets.
Such a good replacement for a choir.
Yeah.
I dig early Gilmore yelling.
I think it's great. I think the whole live in Pompeii thing. I think actually this whole period in their songwriting was very fruitful. Because there's the Imagoma Live CD, which I think has a very similar soundtrack to Pompeii.
I mean, you say that. Have you listened to the Imagoma non-live CD?
I have, and it's horrible.
It's definitely the worst thing they've ever done.
Yeah, but the live track CD, on the other hand, is like great.
The Sisyphus track like deafens you.
I know.
But I agree. I mean, a lot of the stuff they wrote kind of, and they didn't release like Careful With That Axe, Eugene. And
yeah. I really also like the live version of Set the Controls to the Heart of the Sun.
Oh, yeah. The live one's really good. It has a funky ass keyboard solo in the middle. It's much better than the released one.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, that's
no, that track's incredible.
One of the reasons I really appreciate Imagoma. Well, I think they've got one on Live in Pompeii too, don't they?
The Imagoma Careful With That Axe, Eugene is my favorite one. I remember it's definitely that one, and not when you said Imagoma for some reason I was thinking of Relics or something. But yeah, Imagoma Careful With That Axe, Eugene is definitely the best one. Because you kind of rate the quality of Careful With That Axe, Eugene by the scream, and the scream in that one is definitely the best. It's the best scream.
Good. And before that, we had Steve Reich. And now we're going to go to Philip Glass. So I think we'll do the Koyaanisqatsi theme first, and then Priyatik.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a Koyaanisqatsi suite. Because I couldn't choose which one, but I decided I was very much in a Koyaanisqatsi mood. So kind of imagine a large moon rising over a city, and you know, everything moving really fast. This is the vibe that we're going to go for. Have you seen Koyaanisqatsi?
I haven't. I've seen Einstein on the Beach.
Is it a movie?
Or have you seen it as an opera?
Oh, no, because Koyaanisqatsi is a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's a load of kind of... It's kind of like documentary shots to set to the music, and then...
So was it made for the music? Or was the music made for the film?
I think it was meant to just be a sensory experience.
Yeah, it was.
It's kind of the story told. It's the story of existence.
Okay.
I think this is the idea. It's told through visuals and music and not much else.
Yeah. Cool. Well...
It's enjoyable.
There we go.
There's a sequel. Full Koyaanisqatsi 2.
Oh, yeah.
thought they were going to do a good job, and, you know, fuck them. No one did a better job than me.
You just said fuck them on the radio, Rob.
Yeah, well, no one's listening.
How dare you? how can you say that to the three people who are listening? They're not no one. They're cat.
I would like to think it's the people that I'm swearing at. The only people listening are the program controller and the station manager, who have nothing to do but constantly listen to the radio. Joe has chained them to a table with the live stream playing at all times. It's like, can you please check if anyone's swearing? Because we really can't have that.
No, we really can't. Good. So that was Philip Glass, obviously.
Although less obvious than I think a lot of his pieces. You know, it was his Queerness Gutsy soundtrack is significantly less characteristic than, say, Metamorphosis or that opera of the Triumph that he wrote, or the Hours. I think the Hours actually borrows heavily from Metamorphosis to the extent where actually some of it is just Metamorphosis. But yeah, it's extremely derivative. He had a good idea and he ran with it.
Yeah, well, I guess self-plagiarism is still not as bad as...
I mean, you'll still get you fucked on Turn It In. Have you ever seen the movie Candyman?
No.
He did the soundtrack to the movie Candyman. It's a bit different.
What's it about?
It's a really stupid horror movie. You say Candyman three times in the mirror. It's the Bloody Mary myth, but done with Candyman. You'd say Candyman three times in the mirror, Candyman will appear.
That's lame.
And kill you or something.
All right. So next, Porcupine Tree.
Yeah.
It's a prog rock turned metal band.
Except that this track is extremely Pink Floyd-y in a very obvious way. It's not subtle. And it's not meant to be subtle.
Good. So is this from their kind of earlier albums then?
This was actually the last album they released, so no.
Oh, really?
That was actually 9 years ago, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been a bit quiet recently. I was surprised that this was the last album they released, because I got this when it was reasonably new.
Yeah.
Because my guitar teacher told me that Porcupine Tree, if you like Floyd, then give it a Porcupine Tree. Uh-huh. I give it a go. Especially this one, which is because it sounds exactly like Dogs, which you're saying. I got into the bit, but I don't know. Something a bit unwholesome about them. I don't know what it is. The drummer's really good, though. I used to jam with this guy who played the drums. He was very, very talented, and he was very into this guy, and it was good, because we kind of be like, oh, dude, learn this, and he would. And
cool. All right, let's go for
anyway, yeah.
Pink Floyd, Porcupine Tree, Time Flies.
'67, the year of Sergeant Pepper, and all you experienced. Into a suburb of heaven, yet it should have been forever. It all seemed to make so much sense. But after a while, you realize time flies. And the best thing that you can do is take whatever comes to you. 'Cause time flies. She said, luck is all you make it. Just reach out and take it. Now let's dance a while. She said nothing ever happens if you don't make it happen. And if you can't laugh and smile. Realize time flies. And the best thing that you can do is take whatever comes to you. Time flies. And laughing under summer showers.